2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
SEO and web design and all these things can be a little bit of a mystery, especially for those of us who are the limit of our IT is I know just enough to break it. So this whole idea of marketing in that space and using it as a power for good rather than evil when it comes to my business can be a bit of a challenge. But Leslie Komlos from Blue, that's a B-L-O-O, and we'll know why in a second, Cow Marketing, has got this all under control. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you very much.
First of all, why B-L-O-O Cow?
The idea came from a speech, a talk that Seth Godin did. Seth Godin is a marketing guru, and he was talking about how nobody notices cows, but if there was a purple cow in the field, everybody would notice it. So the idea is to do something different and get people's attention. So we wanted to get blue cow, the colour blue, but unfortunately somebody else had, in fact we wanted purple cow, that was already gone.
Oh, surprising not.
Yeah. So we went with the spelling B-L-O-O, and everybody asks us about it, so it certainly is attention getting.
Well, isn't that the point of interruption marketing?
Indeed.
Someone to say, hang on a minute, why, or how, or hang on a minute, that's a bit different.
Exactly.
But this SEO thing, now, we've just been up in yonks and yonks, and we're just talking about stuffing keywords and all that sort of kind of hoo-ha. Does it still have the same oomph that it used to have?
Look, it definitely has its place, and for many businesses, it's something that really definitely needs to be done. It's where we started with our business. But nowadays, there's so many different ways to get people's attention and to find your market that SEO is really just one tool in the toolbox.
Okay, so it's definitely something we should look at.
Absolutely.
But it's not the be-all and end-all of,
no,
of everything. Okay, so we need a good design for our web page. Everybody knows that, roll your eyes. Good SEO behind it. And what else can you do, though? I mean, isn't that it when it comes to web pages?
No, there's so many things.
I did tell you I wasn't an IT guy. Yeah, carry on.
There's so many things. So, I mean, obviously you want to drive traffic to a website that's got all your details on so people can contact you. But there's so many ways they can get there. They can get there from videos on YouTube. They can get there from Facebook pages. They can get there from Facebook ads. They can get there from AdWords. They can get there from display marketing, which is like the banners that you see on various websites around the place.
Oh, okay, yep. They sit sort of top or side there, is that what you're talking about?
That's right, yes. Yep. And we, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but sometimes when you visit a website for the next 3 months, you'll see ads for that website all over the place.
Absolutely, and that's not just me going, oh look, I was on that website, so I'm noticing these ads, isn't it? This is specific stalker behaviour.
They're stalking you. And we can do that for you too.
Oh, lovely. I'm just in the process of buying a drone, which is my thing I'm most looking forward to. I had to leave it till November, right, working on the theory that if there was going to be a new model, a new technology come out, mm-hmm, and it was going to go on special, it would be for Christmas.
Right.
So I had to be disciplined and hold myself off until here. But as soon as I looked at drone courses or something like that, all of a sudden, my Facebook, my everything else seems to have these adverts for different types of drones and different courses. So that's what these banner ads are, and they've come off what I'm looking for?
Exactly. So there's lots of different ways. It's called retargeting or remarketing. There's lots of different ways you can do that. You can do it through Google AdWords. You can also do it through a display ad network, which is actually way bigger than the Google network, which is one of the things that we do. And you can also do it through Facebook. Mm-hmm. So you'll have noticed, obviously, on Facebook, you're probably starting to see those ads there as well.
Yeah. Okay. So from a consumer point of view,
yes,
these things can either annoy the hell out of us, mm-hmm, or be really useful because,
yes,
you go, oh yeah, that's what I was looking for. And even though you know you're being marketed to, a cleverly written copy or something which you resonate with will still suck you in. Not mean to suck you in is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. You will still take action on that because it makes things easier.
Yeah, the interesting thing is most of the remarketing and retargeting you see, it's the same ad, the same banner,
yes,
that you see over and over again. We do this slightly differently. So we have almost like a funnel, if you like, a series of ads. So the first 7 days you might see an ad that says, you know, this company has a great reputation, here's an excerpt from one of their reviews. So you'll see like a review ad. And then for the next 7 days you might see an offer, you know, come here and get 20% off, whatever it might be. And then the next ad you might see might be a branding ad. So it's not the same ad over and over and over again. So people don't develop what's called ad blindness. Have you ever noticed that you start seeing the same ad over and over again and you just kind of, your mind discards it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what we do.
It's funny that the shirt I bought, and I don't do a lot of online shopping, but I bought this particular shirt, which I really love. Mm-hmm. And the ad I got then kept getting for this, whoever they were, is actually the same shirt as I actually bought.
So that's pointless.
I did notice it. I must have bought that shirt a year ago. I'm still seeing that same shirt come up. I'm going, I own that one already. Whereas if they'd said, show me that initially, and I would have gone, oh, that's that shirt I bought. And then they'd change to something else which was similar in that style. I can see how that would have worked better. I would have been more interested to go, oh, that's more of what I already like because I've bought it. So that's where you're going with that sort of kind of?
Yes, it's also branding as well. For example, we did some work like this for a landscape designer. You might be thinking about getting your place landscaped and you've kind of looked at ideas and looked at different websites. And then over the next 6 months, you're seeing this person so that they're top of mind. And when you're ready to make a decision, yes, I'm ready, I've got the money, I want to do that landscaping, I'll call this guy because I remember him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's about branding, not necessarily about an instant, they're going to click on your ad straight away.
And it comes back to that touch point thing, isn't it? You sort of need to hear about that, will create a bit of a relationship and then...
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you find your clients go, well, hang on a minute, I've just spent $200 on Facebook ads, where's my leads?
No, because we're always educating them. So if you're going to do a lead ad, then absolutely you would expect to get leads. But if you're doing remarketing like that, it's a long-term thing. And what you'll notice is a gradual incline in business coming in. With Facebook, yes, we do the remarketing there, but often I'll actually teach businesses how to use Facebook ads themselves rather than do the ads for them on Facebook.
Yep.
So there are some people who really love going in there and doing that stuff themselves. So I do a two-hour training and I teach them how to use all the tools and save them thousands of dollars paying someone else to do the ads for them. So that's something I really enjoy doing.
Now you touched on it a couple of times. You're talking about reputation marketing or reputation reviews. What's that all about?
Well, it's become more and more important. These days nobody, practically nobody, will go to a restaurant or a hotel or even a business without checking out their reviews online. Mm. So even if you're recommended, let's say I recommend to you, I'll go to ABC Landscaping. Most people will actually go and check out their reviews online first, even though they've been personally recommended.
Mm.
So if you don't have a good reputation, you don't have a whole bunch of really great reviews online, then somebody who does is going to get the business. And the other thing is, often there's nasty people out there. I mean, you always get them. People who are not happy with your service are never going to be happy no matter what you do. If you haven't been proactive and created a great review, like lots and lots of reviews online where one single one-star review is not going to affect you, if you've got none and you've got one one-star review, then you're sunk. It really affects your business.
Yeah.
So the idea is to be proactive and get lots of great reviews.
I think as a consuming population, more savvy these days with reviews. Whereas if you can see there's a whole stack of 5-star and 4-star reviews, often people believe 4-star reviews more than 5-star reviews, I find.
Yes.
Because you're not saying they're perfect, and it's not just that old 5-star review, it's a bit of reality. And often I find the 4-star reviews have got a bit more meat to their review. It's not just great job or whatever else, they've got a bit of more, it was fantastic with a blah blah. It's like a 4-star review, it's almost had more thought go into it than a 5-star review.
Yes, that's sometimes the case.
But if you get one, these guys were terrible, in amongst that, people go, trolls. People are really aware these days that there is that competitive behaviour or someone who's just being a numpty because they felt like it.
We've had a few clients come to us who have not done anything with their reviews at all, just let it kind of happen, and they've had hardly any, but someone has come along and given them a one-star review and it's decimated their business, so they're in damage control mode. Whereas being proactive about this, and we have a system in place that automates a lot of this stuff for you, means that if that does happen, it's not going to ruin your business overnight.
Because there's no harm or shame in asking for the review, is there? I mean, like the small business owners, we tend to be very hesitant, I think, in a lot of cases, even asking for the sale.
Yes.
You do your whole chitty-chatty and you don't actually say, do you think we can work together? Or you don't actually ask for that sale. It just sort of kind of hangs there and everybody hopes that sort of someone then says, oh, yeah, I want to buy from you.
Yeah.
If you've had a particularly good experience with a client or even a poor one, asking for that review is not the ultimate sin, is it?
No, I have a friend actually here in Mandurah who doesn't need my help at all. He's an electrician. And when he came to me, he had 72 five-star reviews on his Google listing. I think it's now up to over 110. He's particularly brilliant at asking every single customer for a review, and they're all 5-star reviews. I mean, you can't fake that.
No.
It's amazing.
Actually, what you're saying there is, oh, look, if you wouldn't mind dropping me a review on Google, on Google even, that's fine and dandy, but it can be a difficult process. You've got to have a log on, you've got to log on, you've got to leave the review, you've got to find the right website, etc., etc. Is there a way of making that easier? Can we make that easier for our clients?
Absolutely. So this particular friend, he actually gives them like an image that shows them what to click, which bits to fill out. And we have a similar process. You can send people or give people like a little sheet or an image that shows them exactly what to do. It seems hard, but it's actually not that hard to sign up for Google. And anyone that's got an Android phone has a Google account anyway.
So again, it's about breaking down those barriers and not being afraid to say, you know, look, hey, you know, we're a small business. We'd really like to, if you're happy with our service. And if you're not, please give us the feedback. We'd love, we're constantly improving. And actually, I think almost being slightly vulnerable in that space and being happy to say, I genuinely want your feedback. If you've thought our stuff was 5-star, fantastic. If not, we'd love to know how we can improve.
Exactly. The system that we have in place allows people to post not just on Google, but on anywhere that has a review platform. So, you know, Facebook, for example, or Yelp, TripAdvisor, all those places. But the other thing that it does is if the review is less than 4 stars, they're encouraged to give feedback, which goes directly to the customer, but they're not directly asked to put a review online. So the business has a chance to figure out what went wrong and make it right. And the chances of a negative review being posted online is much less.
Because they've already got that avenue to have that conversation.
And most people, they just want to be heard. Mm. It's not about, you know, wanting to destroy someone's business in most cases.
No.
It's about, I want you to fix this.
And that's great for customers which maybe use you as a once-off or you've got a single service. Like obviously a plumber, you'd like to hope that the people they're referring you to are their friends, not the fact that the tap you've just got fixed has failed for a second time.
Yes.
So where you've got this, say businesses with repeat clientele, is there a way that you can capture this ongoing experience with your clients, which are, say, maybe using you 6 times a week? They might buy coffee from you every morning, for example, or you've got that whole a good repeat client basis. How do you capture those guys in something like a review?
So that's actually something that's very exciting in our business that's very new. This kind of thing was very difficult for the small businesses. The big businesses like Starbucks and Starwood Preferred Guests, which is the biggest hotel chain in the world, some of the really big brands have been using this kind of thing for a while, but they've got deep pockets and they've got lots of money to spend on development.
And the thing is if I'm buying coffee from you every morning, it's like, I told you I liked your coffee yesterday, why am I telling you you like my coffee again? You know, I wouldn't be buying my coffee from you if I didn't like your coffee.
Yes. So now what's happened is a very recent innovation in technology has allowed us to marry up Facebook Messenger and mobile wallet software, which sits on all iPhones and you can get it on Androids as well. And we've developed what's called a mobile loyalty program. So we can get people into your loyalty program by using offers. And once they've got the mobile pass on their phone, we can send them offers. So for example, if you're a restaurant and you bring people in for something fantastic, like, you know, get a free bottle of wine with your meal. So they come in, they have their meal and they redeem the offer. And after they've redeemed the offer, we ask them for a review. But that's not the end. Then next month, when you have another special offer, you just push out a notification. It goes out to all your many thousands of people that have your loyalty program on their phone. And the notification pops up to say, hey, come on in. This month, we're doing a 2-for-1 deal. Or, you know, get a free dessert or whatever the offer might be.
Because signing up for your loyalty program on your phone, effectively, they're giving you permission to market to them.
Yes. And of course, you need to be careful. You're not doing it every day.
Yeah, and of course, there's always an unsubscribe button. Yes. But that's the thing is, I want to be part of your loyalty program. They almost expect you to tell them what's going on, but obviously not completely swamp them with by minute, tweeting them every 7 minutes sort of kind of stuff. Yeah.
So once or twice a month is optimal for that kind of thing. We also have a point system. So you can have points when you share the offer. So it becomes like a viral sharing thing. Nice. You can share it with your friends. And so you can accumulate points and redeem offers using your points, depending on what the business owner wants to do. So, yeah, it's very exciting. And it works really well for restaurants and day spas, maybe gyms, anything that's got cafes, anything that's got repeat business.
Is that something I need to be pretty established to do? Is it going to cost me tens of thousands of dollars? I mean, we don't need to put a figure on it, but You know, is it a big investment for a maybe ROI?
No, it's not. And the beauty of the system is we have actually got a special spreadsheet where we can plug in your numbers. So we can put in how much your average customer spends, how many times they're going to come back every year, figure out exactly what each customer is worth to you in dollar terms, mm-hmm. and show you exactly how much net profit it's going to bring into your business every year.
Okay. So you can see that and make obviously an informed decision based on data which is real for that space.
Exactly.
Brilliant. It sounds like a lot to me. I must admit, it does sound a bit complex
from a
marketing point of view, because there seems to be so many moving parts to make this as effective as it can be. And it does sound like it needs to be a multiple pronged approach. It's not just a case of doing one thing and expecting miracles, or doing another thing and expecting miracles. It's this consistent approach, consistent branding across multiple platforms, which of course, because your customers hang out in different places.
Yes.
So is that something which Blue Cow is about? It's about helping you bring that together as a package?
Exactly. So with the mobile loyalty program, for the business itself, there's very little to do. All they need to do is give us an offer every month to put out to their customers. That's it. And we do the rest. As far as all the other services we offer, not every service that we do is going to work for every business. And that's kind of why we branched out from SEO in the start. We realised that SEO was not the be-all and end-all, and that certain things are going to work for certain businesses. So we custom tailor any packages to the businesses that we work with, so that you're getting the best return on your investment when it comes to spending marketing dollars.
Cool. Okay. So if someone's going, radio cool, I want to take my business to the next level, I want to get it out there a bit, where would you suggest that they start?
Best thing to do is to give us a call. Our phone number is 1-300-499-550, or just visit our website, bluecow.com, which is BLOOCOW.com, or of course our Facebook page. You can contact us there as well.
So come and go, look, hey, let's grab a coffee. This is what I'm thinking. Do I need to know exactly what I want to have a chat with you?
No. It's good to know the general direction of where you want to go and what you want to achieve.
So a bit of soul searching first to go, okay, where are my customers? Where do they hang out? Yeah, an understanding of your business.
Yes.
And then so I can talk about my business to you, and then you can work out what I need to do next.
Particularly with older generation, if you like, of which I'm part. There are people out there who have no clue where to find their customers, and they'll say, well, I don't use Facebook, so why should I put advertising there?
But yeah, I must admit that whole idea of buying something through Facebook, I would never look for something. In fact, I almost said I would never Google something on Facebook, which tells you exactly where I would go. If I want to find something, I go to Google. I don't go to Facebook. But what I've become to realise is that my clients do.
Absolutely, they do.
And they're looking for solutions for problems which we've got the solutions for, and they're looking on Facebook, which is just bizarre. And it took me a long time to come to that. It was only after several kicks in the butt. But, you know, obviously, people who work in marketing, and someone eventually said to me, Jack, it's not about you.
No.
I'm gone, yeah, fair point. So, and that's what it is. But I needed that coaching and that kick in the butt to actually get it.
Interestingly, I was showing this mobile loyalty program to a friend of mine who works in social media. She's in her 50s. She's very much au fait with Facebook. And when I showed it to her, she said, oh, I don't know about that. And I said, yeah, but you're not the target market, don't you worry.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's finding that target market and then speaking to them on the platform where they hang out.
Mm, exactly.
Brilliant. Leslie, thank you so much. So the first thing they should do is obviously get a bit of an understanding of the business and then give you guys a call, and then you can have those conversations and work out what the next steps are.
Yes.
That's obviously a scalable product. You don't have to start with a six-figure investment.
Absolutely.
You can certainly get going and see what works for you.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.